This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, thanks for tuning in.
Kia ora, everyone.
Another episode. I don't know how many we've done now.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, we've been doing it for about a year and a half. No,
I think so.
I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Epic. I'm really excited about our topic today.
Me too, actually. When you suggested it, I was like, oh, that's
a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're getting a bit more creative because we've both got a bit more time now, don't we?
Yeah. I can read a bit more. I can spend a bit more time writing about what I'm reading.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And like engaging with books that you are excited to talk about as well.
Yeah, you can read finally.
Yeah.
Outside of your course.
Yay. So yeah, our topic is Victorian Gothic novels, but contemporary ones.
Yes. Which, yeah, I was like, oh, I actually love this genre.
Yeah. It made me think, so I was like, I've got to do a shout out to Wilkie Collins, The Woman in White.
Yeah.
I read that when I was a teenager and absolutely loved it. And yeah, it actually was my password for a long time. It's not anymore, so I can say that on air.
What, The Woman in White?
Woman in White. Because it's quite
immediately
long.
Immediately hacking into your bank account.
Yeah, exactly. But
hey,
yeah.
It's quite a long password.
It is, eh?
It's a laborious typing process.
No one will guess it. But yeah, and also like Mary Shelley, Frankenstein's another classic.
Queen. Have you watched the new adaptation?
I have.
Of it yet?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did on some level, but then I have to say that I thought, what's Johnny Depp's daughter called? Because she played the main...
Is she?
Yeah, that's her. I thought she's a bit...
I thought it was, what's her face? The other one with big eyes. I don't know her name.
Maybe I'm getting confused with Dracula.
Nosferatu had Dolly Rose Depp in it.
Yes,
so you haven't seen the new...
No, I haven't.
Frankenstein, okay.
Ah.
I was like, I don't think she's in it. But they're kind of similar looking.
Oh, okay.
Like, sort of big-eyed.
Like,
ingenue.
Too symmetrical and perfect. Like, they're too pretty, they're almost just nothing.
Yeah.
That's how I
quite like the lead. I haven't seen Frankenstein yet, but I quite like the lead, the actor that plays her. I can't remember her name.
I'm going to check it out.
The love interest.
Anyway, who have you brought in today to talk about?
I've got two books to talk about today. So one I just read very recently in the last few days, which is a book that came out this year. It's called Victorian Psycho by Virginia Feito, who is a Spanish novelist, and she was raised in Madrid and Paris. And she went to an American school and a British school in those two places. So she actually writes her novels in English. And I thought it was quite interesting. I was reading some interviews with her, and she talks about how she's turned down the offer to translate her novels herself because she thought she'd do a really bad job of it, which I thought was really interesting.
Strange.
But she also talked about how she liked being able to view her novels from like this sort of different perspective of like being in conversation with the translator and sort of talking about what, really digging down to what each sentence means.
Anyway,
off topic, I was like, I just found that really interesting when she was talking about that. But back to the book. So Victorian Psycho, and the title is a real blatant wink at Bret Easton Ellis's American Psycho. And it's a very wicked satire of Victorian society, which is told through the gaze of a monster of its own making. So you're in the perspective of Winifred Notty, who gets hired by Mr. and Mrs. Pounds to be the new governess for their two spoiled children, who informs the reader upon her arrival at Ensor House at the start of the book that within 3 months, everyone in the house will be dead, and then she proceeds to wreak havoc. So it's really like sets you up for exactly what's going to happen right at the start. But yeah, I really liked how it plays against the Victorian era's demure angel in the house stereotypes of woman by giving the reader a protagonist without inhibitions, filters or limits. She is a psychopath. So I really love that perspective you get inside of, and the author talks about how she was poking at like, what if the evil psychopath were female this time, and whether readers will justify her or vilify her more based on that. So there was like a cool new perspective to come from. And yeah, so parts of the book were inspired by the crimes of real Victorian killers, like Constance Kent, who slit the throat of her half-brother and threw his body down a privy, and Amelia Dyer, the baby farmer, who was thought to have murdered as many as 400 infants placed in her care. So it's a gruesome book, if you can't tell. So it's a really short novel, I guess sort of a novella. It's around 200 pages, and it really grabbed me right from the start. You're like really in her headspace. Winifred Noddy is a real force of nature of a character. She's so foul and unlikable, and it's really hard to understand her motivations because she's a psychopath. So everything she does kind of comes out of left field, and her thoughts just really come through with brutal honesty. And
does it make it believable? I mean, if like, does it in the end, are you convinced?
I'm definitely convinced by the characters. Like, Fato was talking about how the first kernel of creating the novel was like her really distinctive voice, and she built everything about around like the voice of Winifred. So I think like the character herself is incredibly strong. And yeah, she's the driving force of like everything that happens. And it's, yeah, you sort of, it's really funny, the novel, which was really twisted. You feel bad for laughing at her really like casual cruelty and like maniacal behaviour, which is sort of exactly what the author is going for. You sort of are laughing and then you're like, oh, like what's wrong with me? It's like sort of poking at like our fascination with true crime and all of that sort of thing. But yeah, it's really, I read it really quickly. It flies by. I will warn people, it is extreme. Like nothing's, no one's safe in this novel. There's children, animals. So if you don't like gruesome happenings, I would avoid this one. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought her writing was really sharp. There's like one moment you're laughing at Winifred's like incredibly dry wit, and then the next you're wondering if she's about to strangle a child with a garland. So it's sort of, you know, sort of being taken from place to place. It's a real gothic horror meets pitch black comedy, and a really entertaining romp through Victorian repression, class snobbery, and homicidal tendencies.
Wow.
So yeah, if you want like a quick, fun's a weird word, but like entertaining read.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind gruesomeness, yeah, I recommend.
Interesting.
It's also been picked up for a film adaptation.
Oh, wow.
With Margaret Qualley, as if you know who she is. I really like her. She's a great actor.
Cool.
I think that'll be good. Great. It's a very cinematic sort of campy horror thing, which I think will play really well on the screen.
Yeah. So, yeah. Has she written other novels?
Yeah, she has actually written, I think, just one other novel called Mrs. March, which came out in 2021, and I think was quite popular. It's sort of a similar twisted take on like satire of societal expectations of women.
Yeah, okay.
And this sort of thing.
Interesting.
Which is also going to be a film, I think, starring Elizabeth Moss. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Obviously Elizabeth Moss is wonderful.
Yeah, so I think.
One to look out for.
Hopefully then. There'll be two good new films coming out.
Oh, great.
Yeah, are you talking about?
I'm talking about, what you're saying about society's expectations of women. That's into the book that I just read. Is Carrion Crow by Heather Perry. A bit about the author, Heather Perry is a Glasgow-based writer and editor originally from South Yorkshire. So she's got one other another novel called Orpheus Builds a Girl, and she's also written a non-fiction book called Electric Dreams on Sex, Robots, and the Failed Promises of Capitalism.
Oh, love.
quite an interesting woman. Anyway, so this book, Carrion Crow, I came across it because it was on my list to buy for the Athenaeum Library, and there was this wonderful nod to Kathy Acker, and I was like, oh, this sounds curious. But yeah, even then I'm like, that's a big stretch. Anyway, so it's set in London during the late Victorian era, and it's narrated by Margaret Perigord. I'm not going to be able to say her name properly. So she's born into an affluent life, which is slowly starting to disintegrate, which is in part due to her father leaving their mum when they were little and her siblings. The narration intertwines Margaret with her mother, so each chapter goes like in and out. So you kind of, it's chronicling the events that lead up to Margaret's imprisonment. So her mum's locked her in the attic of her family home in Chelsea, London. This is because Margaret is, she's found herself a husband, but he's a lawyer and he doesn't get paid that much. So her mother's like, oh, well, I'll lock you in the attic. Mm. And she gets locked up with a copy of Mrs. Beaton's book of household management, which some people might be familiar with as an actual book that was published in 1861. That was about 2,000 pages long, and it sold like nearly 2 million copies in 1868. She was the wife of a publisher, and so she wrote this huge book that had a massive influence on Victorian women on how to keep a household and be a good mother and a housewife. So, yeah, Margaret's locked in the attic with this book and is expected to learn it all off by heart. And she's also locked up there with a sewing machine. And then, yeah, early on she discovers that the ceiling is kind of crumbling, and then she discovers a carrion crow. Yeah. Which I didn't know why they're called a carrion crow. I guess it's just a type of crow.
Is it because they, like, eat carrion?
Oh, I don't know. Do that? What's a carrion?
Isn't it like a dead body? Like,
okay.
Decaying corpse, I think, is what carrion is.
Yeah,
of whatever creature it may be.
Interesting. Oh, I did not know that. So she, the author has said that this Mrs. Beaton's book acts as a kind of character within the novel, and that it like massively informs it. But there's these descriptions of food, because Margaret's mother brings her up food every now and then, like maybe it's every couple of days or weeks.
Mm, okay.
The time kind of very much blurs in this, and you know, she's sitting there with her chamber pot and the stench of the Thames, and there's the descriptions. Yeah, this book is definitely not for the lighthearted. There were sometimes descriptions where I found like I was actually twisting my face in disgust. But the descriptions of food are wonderful because of how affluent her background is, the kinds of foods that they used to eat, but also when they talk about the mother getting married into aristocrats, you know, and they're all eating like turtle soup, and then there's descriptions on how to deshell a turtle and how to eat birds of all kinds and eggs, and it's kind of I wouldn't say a delight for the senses, but yeah, you're using all your senses when you read this.
A horror for the senses.
It's a horror, yeah, for this.
It's body, similar to Victorian Psycho, yeah.
It's the body
say
horror.
The food descriptions are like equally as gruesome. I was like, oh.
Because they're just not things we eat in this era as well, right? Margaret's mother delivers her letters from her fiancé every now and then. So that kind of keeps her going. She's perpetually ravenous and is dreaming about food and writing to her fiancé about food, which is, I guess, the only bit I found funny. The attic is obviously really small and riddled with insects. It's very claustrophobic. So she just spends her time going in and out of her senses. This is a quote from The Guardian. Margaret tests the limits of her body's mutability, finding that her hairpins prick her as she sleeps. She eats and later expels them, each one bringing a satisfied smile to Margaret's face as it tingled off the chamber pot. By way of wretched, dirty protest, she then hammers the pins into the ceiling. So the book is very much based on a true story about a French woman called Blanche Monnier, who was locked in her family's attic for 25 years.
Oh, my God.
And that was in about 1850s, I think. Mm. Quite horrendous. It's all about, it's sort of making inquiries into the mad woman in the attic, explores class, queerness, and the total lack of agency women had over their lives and still do. I found this book so affecting that I feel like it will always stay with me. Mm. There's this sort of frightening thing of like Margaret doesn't know what's expected of her, and this blurring of reality, and the uncertainty of that. I found this book truly, truly wonderful. I'm going to read a quote from it, which was towards the end of the book. Margaret wondered if mothers had this in them, the secret sadness that only came out when there was no company, whether all grown-ups had it, and whether that was why they had children, so they always had someone to perform for. Pretty powerful story. Yeah. So, yeah, I really, really recommend this book. But again, I mean, even though it's so visceral and disgusting, it doesn't linger on that too much. Like, it will be a thing that happens and then you're moving on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That sounds really good.
I'm affected majorly.
That sounds like a good companion to Victorian Psycho. So I might really pick that up soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm. So what's the next one you've got in?
My next one, I was kind of like, I hadn't read anything else Victorian for a while. And then I was like racking my brain thinking of what I could talk about. And then I was like, Sarah Waters is the queen of lesbian Victorian fiction. Just in Victorian fiction in general, I think, of novels set in that time period. She's a contemporary writer. So if you don't know who Sarah Waters is, I hope everyone does, but people might not. She is a Welsh novelist who does primarily write novels set in Victorian society featuring lesbian protagonists. And she was awarded an OBE in 2019 for her services to literature. And today I will be talking about my favourite novel of hers, which is Fingersmith.
That's the only one that I know of.
Another one, quite famous one, Tipping the Velvet, is set in Victorian times as well. But Fingersmith came out in 2002, and I didn't actually know it was shortlisted for the Booker Prize that year. Got beaten out by The Life of Pi by Jan Martel, which is also a good book. But
yeah.
Fingersmith is set in the 1860s, and its main character is Sue Trinder, who's grown up in a kind of thieves' kitchen in Dickensian London. And she's approached by a conman known as Gentleman, who wants her to impersonate a lady's maid. So Gentleman plans to rob an heiress, Maud, of her fortune. So he installs Sue as her lady's maid to help him seduce and swindle her. It's a very dastardly plot that develops in very unexpected ways when the two women, due to the sort of intimate nature of lady's maid to lady, form a very deep attachment to one another. I love this book. I haven't read it properly in a couple of years, but I have read it multiple times since I first read it. So I flicked through my copy before coming to talk about it. So I've read quite a lot of Waters novels, not all of them yet, but this book really shows off her strengths as a writer. She can create such well-developed, complicated characters. She's a really real mastery of pacing, and she can conduct these very tight, multi-layered narratives where the next move is always surprising. And she recreates the Victorian setting so well. Like, she has such deep research into the slang of the time, particularly in like the seedy underbelly type of which Sue Trinder inhabits. So that really, at the start, sort of puts you off because it's like very different to what you're used to reading in contemporary literature. But then once you sort of get into the slang, get used to it, it really situates you so deeply.
Do you find yourself starting to use it in everyday life? What's an example?
The one that comes to mind is actually used a lot in Tipping the Velvet is quim, which is for female genitalia.
Ah.
I can't think of any other ones. They're quite, it's really interesting slang terms. There's a really good interview, the Booker Prize did an interview with Sarah Waters, I think, maybe a couple of years ago, where she goes deep into her archives of writing Fingersmith and talks a lot about how she researched the slang she was really interested in, she talked a lot about how she wanted this book to sort of be a combination of a few different types of writing at the time. So there's Sue was an example of the sort of sensationalist journalism that was written about the seedy underbelly of Victorian times, and then Maud, an example of the sensationalist novel, so things like Wilkie Collins, other things where it's sort of talking about the the hidden sides of high society. So I think there's a quote that she said about Wilkie Collins where it's the spectacle of the home, and she wanted to see how these two characters would react when they were pushed together in this narrative, I really liked hearing more about her thought process on that. I recommend that video.
That's also, in the Carrion Crow book, this hidden life of the rich.
Yeah. Sort of like all the awful things that are hiding behind that like perfect facade, and how, yeah, it's so up front in the journalism, but so behind closed doors in the other one.
And still is.
Yes, it's exactly the same. Again, these novels still feel very current.
Yeah, sadly, I think that's why it was so affecting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same with this of like women being so powerless in this society. You see that a lot with Maud and Sue. They're both in pretty horrible respective situations of being under the power and influence of men, and they're both really longing for escape and have like a really desperate thirst for revenge. This book is like the definition of a page turner, and it also, I just remember the first time I read it, it has not one but two like crazy twists, and I just remember reading it and be like, what the, like literally like gasping out loud, I was like, what the hell. And I don't remember, I can't recall ever feeling that like shocked by a twist since this. So
is she still writing?
She hasn't had a new book out for ages, but she's still talking. She's still out there like doing interviews and stuff. So I'm hoping she's got another one in the works. I can't say too much about it because I don't want to give anything away. So you do hear from like multiple different perspectives. Well, there's like from one perspective, you get to hear from Sue and then from Maud's point of views, and they sort of switch a couple of times throughout the novel. It's just, I highly recommend this if you want like a page turner, twisty turny, excellent book that was just, it's just really fun. It's a good read.
Oh, cool.
And also recommend all the adaptations of it. There's a really good BBC miniseries. Starring Sally Fields.
I'm thinking I might have seen that.
Yeah, it's a bit older now, but and also a really amazing adaptation by Park Chan-wook, I think, Korean director. So it's a Korean film called The Handmaiden.
Interesting. It's been on my list forever. It's kind of like up there. Whoops, slipped. On Hilary Mantel as well.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say. Like she's on people's list already. Yeah. Like, this is me saying to people, please read.
Do it now.
A Sarah Waters book. I'd recommend this or Tipping the Velvet to start off with, but they're just like, oh, she's such an amazing writer.
I just love historical novels, but especially Victorian, I think, because it's quite tangible. It's far away enough, but it's close enough to the 21st century that we can actually imagine
I also quite like the fact about Victorian times is that there's all this like really high society, but everything's still kind of gross. It's stinky and like it's gross out there. It's like actually Angela Carter, the one I talked about, Nights at the Circus last week, is set in Victorian times as well.
Yeah, it's making me remember Rivers in the Sky, Alif Shafak.
Oh yeah, I need to read that. That's my top of my
reading list. Yeah, one of the characters is set in London. In Victorian London, and just the description of the Thames and the filth, is what it really is. Its defining feature almost.
Yeah. Feels like very, I don't know if this is a good way to, like very immediate, like everything is right there.
You just die of like some sort of thing. We're running out of time. I've just got a couple of events coming up at the Athenaeum. Next week on Wednesday the 19th is the Otago University Masters in Creative Writing show at 5:30. All welcome to come to that. And on the 25th, there's Vincent O'Sullivan's plaque that's being unveiled in the Octagon at 11 a.m. And if you'd like to come to that, you just need to RSVP to librarian@dunedinathenaeum.org.nz, I think is my email. Or you can just find us, the people who bring you the show, the Dunedin Athenaeum and Mechanics Institute.
Thank you, Dunedin Athenaeum and Mechanics Institute.
Yeah, we love doing this show. We do. Cool. Thanks, Bella.
Everyone has a lovely weekend.
Yeah. And we look forward to coming up with something very exciting for the next show.
Yeah. We'll have you on the edge of your seats.
Cool. Ka kite.
Bye. Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.